welcome to
The Crash Report! The Crash Report! The Crash Report!
Welcome, Broncos Nation, to the Broncos Crush Report Podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is Season 3, Episode number 3. Coming off a huge victory against the Cowboys. Eric's not here. That's why I did the intro, and that's probably not as good as he normally does it. But if you think that, go fuck yourself. But filling in, we've got regulars now, I would say. Micah and Mark are back.
Hello. Hello.
Good morning, Vietnam.
All right, then. Mark for the worst intro of the podcast. Perfect.
I love it.
How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. Man, what a game. After that weather delay, I was watching games and I fell asleep for like 2 hours and I woke up and I was like, shit, did I miss the game? And it still wasn't on. So
baby needed a nappy.
Baby needed nappy nap. So, no, I'm doing good. Good to be back. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Great weekend to have a good win. Actually, I think the weather delay was perfect. Perfect timing. I had something going on that time, and when I got done, it was still the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I wonder how that worked out for a lot of people, because Eric even had to go to some, like, birthday or some shit. So I wonder if it helped him out, too. So.
Yeah, we were actually up in the mountains this weekend, and we were coming back, and it took us a lot longer than we thought. So I was listening to the first quarter, but I was going to miss probably all the way up into the first half. But yeah, with the delay, I got back in time, so it worked out perfect for me too.
How you doing, Sean? But you're doing good? You have a good time in the mountains?
I did. It was great. It was good to get away. It was nice. Nice. One of the benefits of living in Colorado.
Yeah.
Enjoying those beautiful mountains and the beautiful, beautiful Broncos.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I just can't believe this win. I mean, it's 42-17. You weren't even close on your predictions, none of you.
I was the closest.
Sean was the closest. Sean had he predicted 27-21.
Right. Why do you say you guys? Yeah, you're included in that.
I wasn't here last week.
Yeah.
But my prediction was 42-10. I should have.
Micah texted me during the podcast. I didn't put it in, but he thought the Cowboys were going to win. So
That doesn't surprise me. Did.
He didn't really text me.
No, I didn't.
Crazy game. Super exciting. It's crazy. All leading up to it, national media definitely had the Cowboys kind of pegged to win.
Yeah, I mean, there were memes. There's memes. I was just loving all of the memes. There was this, I follow Fake Sports Center on Facebook. I don't know if you guys do too, but they have really funny shit. And there was like, there's just national coverage of these memes of Dallas Cowboys. And it was just outstanding to be like, that's my team. That's my Denver Broncos.
Yeah, man. Micah said, our predictions were pretty far off. I did have the closest. Eric was 24-21, and Mark was 27-24. So Mark, I guess, was in second. So that's good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, Eric isn't here this week. We miss him. He had just too much going on this week. So he couldn't make it. And we get the lesser of the brothers, and life goes on.
Going deep on the bench. Deep on the bench.
Fourth, fifth string.
Well, Sean, overall reaction.
We got the Brock Osweiler of the Munoz family.
getting paid. Yeah. And not giving a fuck. So overall reactions for team performance. I mean, Sean, I want to start with you. I mean, what do you think? I mean, analyzing the game from beginning to end.
Yeah, man, I thought it was a great game. I feel like our offense really showed up in a big way. Obviously, our defense is killing it again. I think we're right now, we've got to be leading. I don't know where our record on defense is right now, but as far as like the rest of the team goes, I know we jumped up high in the rankings over this last week. I really felt like Trevor Siemian is really coming into his own. I felt like he was calling audibles on the field. Just seeing that out of him, man, was just giving me like the chills. Because I really feel like he's just really settling into that role really well. Tied his career high for 4 touchdowns. He had 68.8% on his completions. He was at 231 yards. Just really impressed with him. Run game was big again. CJ Anderson showed up. Yeah, man. I don't know. I feel like I was really expecting more from the Cowboys from all the hype I've heard and all the Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott praise, and they just both didn't really show up. So, yeah, man, how about you guys? What did you think?
Mark, why don't you tell us what you think?
I thought I was blown away. I couldn't believe that we were scoring that many points, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like everything was on point. There wasn't really a weak spot that I noticed. Just wasn't.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think everything that Sean said, I mean, 4 touchdowns. I mean, really, what more could you ask of your your quarterback in a game? I mean, if you put up 4 touchdowns every game, we're going to win the Super Bowl, period. Our defense is not going to let somebody score, I think, more than 21 a game. It's going to be tough. I think it'll be rare when we give up more than 21 points a game. So, yeah, I mean, for me, the standout performance obviously is Trevor, but CJ Anderson, I mean, was playing out of his fucking mind. I mean, he was that reception, a touchdown he had where he just was going across the flat and then came in there and just popped that one guy right to get in the goal. I mean, it was, he's quick, man. He just can cut so hard. So I was just really impressed with CJ. I mean, he just blew me away.
Totally agree, man. Yeah. 118 yards. Just week after week really showing up in a big way. You know, I mean, always the biggest worry for any running back is to keep healthy throughout the season. Yeah, man, I love what he does. I love that we have Jamaal Charles to kind of to take a little bit of relief off for him.
Yeah.
It's just a great combo right now. It's working out really well. Lots of just phenomenal playing, man. I feel like our defense just really showed up in a big way again. I think, like I had said with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, their run game was such a big part of their game, and to shut that down completely, I think Ezekiel Elliott to the, I guess, Cowboys' credit, didn't really show up. Felt like he wasn't really playing. But, yeah, I think that was a lot to do with just our defense was just on top of it, man. They held him to, I think it was something like 8 yards for 9 carries, which is unheard of for his career so far. And just forced Dak Prescott to throw, which they're just not that kind of a team. He had a record high of 50 passes, and still they couldn't produce anything from that. Yeah, man, it a huge credit goes to the defense. Just blown away, man. That no fly zone is no joke.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, it's Ezekiel Elliott to hold him to 8 yards, but think about that. I mean, to hold any running back to less than 10 yards is astounding.
Right.
Not to mention Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, I don't know. It was absolute. It's just, it felt like the Super Bowl again, you know, because it was like when we were playing Carolina, you're like, oh, shit, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. I'm just waiting for them because offense goes 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. And the defense held. Do you guys remember that during the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
you're just waiting for Carolina to come back and insane. They fucking held the whole game. And it was kind of like this again. You're like, there's no way they're going to keep doing this. There's no way the Cowboys are going to go 3 and out again. And they did. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously held Ezekiel to, you know, 8 yards, but I think the bigger thing is we held that offensive line to, you know, staying on their own line of scrimmage, which is crazy.
That's a good point. Best offensive line in the league, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark. I mean, when those this also proves, and I want your guys' opinion on this, how psychological football is, okay? When you back a team into a corner with the defense and saying, oh, the Cowboys have the best offensive line, Broncos are going to lose. Oh, C.J. Anderson, yeah, he's all right. We'll see. You know, back him into a corner. Oh, Trevor Siemian, he's unproven. I feel like it is such a psychological game where if you – some players, man, they play so much better with their backs up against the wall. And then on the other side of, you know, look at the Cowboys, we demoralized Ezekiel Elliott. If you look at – I mean, at that pick six with Aqib, did you see him just, like, not even running? He just stood there, and he's getting a lot of flack for that in Dallas. And I mean, think about that. I mean, you really demoralize a team, and they're put in – now they're in a funk. They're gonna struggle, I think, probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks to get that locker room back to what it was. So, I mean, we have momentum. I'm excited for this season. This was not just a huge win to beat that team, but also to make a statement to the league – make a statement to themselves saying that we can do this, and fuck you, we're the Denver Broncos. We're going to win another Super Bowl. I think it's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with your mind as a player. You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
Yeah, big time.
I like that you said, well, you know, it'll make a statement to the league. But the problem is the league never recognizes us. We're still never. It's funny. I looked at the power rankings again, and we're still behind teams that have lost a game.
Yeah.
That doesn't blows my mind. I don't get it.
Right. Yeah, and not only teams that have lost a game, but lost in the fashion that they've lost. I mean, Green Bay, people are saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers, they always start off 1-1 for the past like 4 years, whatever. Green Bay does not look like a good team this year. I'm sorry. They do not look like a Super Bowl contender to me. And I think they're ahead of us in the power rankings. So, yeah, I agree, Mark.
So are the fucking Patriots.
I know. Well, that's okay, because Tom Brady did. He didn't just win. He fucking routed. I mean, I have him in fantasy. I know. Shame. Shame. But I watched that game pretty much start to finish, and he looked like he was the GOAT again. He was just all over. Okay, so the New Orleans, their defense is the worst in the league. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
The worst. Ugh. It was brutal.
For sure. Well, that's the thing that drives me crazy is, like, I don't know how they come up with these power rankings. I mean, I get he had a hell of a game, but they're currently ranked first. I think the Chiefs are second, who beat them.
Yeah, who are so
2-0 right now. Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, I think Tom Brady has like 463 yards so far this season. But yeah, man, it's really bizarre that they do that. We did move from 6th to 12th, or we moved from 12th to 6th. So at least we're jumping up.
Yeah, but it should be based off of performance, and honestly, performance is wins, right? Performance is touchdowns. Performance is yards thrown.
I think Trevor's... you got to take into account who you're playing too. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. But I mean, he has more touchdowns than any other quarterback in the NFL right now. That's fucking crazy.
Well,
right.
And we also have the toughest schedule out there. Right.
We're first in rushing yards right now. We're first, first in points. So we're first in the AFC West, which is a plus, especially since the Chiefs are 2-0 and the Raiders are 2-0. So,
yeah, man, our division is tough. I'm so worried about tough. That.
Yeah, man. So how did you guys feel the O-line did? I mean, we kind of had a little bit of concern. We felt like that they were heading in the right direction. Do you think they picked it up this week?
No, I still see a lot of problems. I mean, the reason why we're giving Trevor Siemian so much praise is he's getting rid of the ball very quickly. He did get knocked around a bit in the game. He took some hits. You have to protect him. I mean, if he gets injured, can you imagine if he gets injured? This town is going to fucking go nuts if Brock Osweiler runs on that field. It's going to be mayhem. So you got to protect him. I mean, I felt like he was rushed at least every other play. I mean, he was, I mean, yeah, he was getting the ball and he was getting the line, but then they stopped blitzing. And when they weren't blitzing, I felt like they held up. But whenever they blitzed, I mean, Trevor had to get rid of the ball like yesterday. So.
Yeah, there was a play where he had to get rid of it real quick because he was getting rushed. And if he had like, you know, half a second more, DT was wide open, but he threw it to the check down, which I think they got a first down or something, but DT would have probably scored. He was wide open. He just didn't, you know, have time to look at it.
Yeah, I don't think the fumble was his fault either.
No, yeah. I think that was more on the O-line, just not exactly protecting
him. Yeah, I mean, he, like I said, no. I mean, Watson, I don't even understand how John Elway hasn't just fucking cut him and just brought somebody else in.
Seriously.
I just don't understand why they're giving this guy a start or a chance. It just makes it, well, it's scary, honestly, because that means there's no one as good as this piece of shit. So
put Colin Kaepernick over there.
Yeah. Give him a job. Yeah, we want you to be O-line. How do you feel about that?
Just use that furrow of yours.
You're really good at kneeling. Just kneel in front of the quarterback. Sorry. No.
All right. Well, speaking of O-line, Garrett Bowles hurt his knee. Ankle. I don't know. They keep changing what happened. But, in the second half, he went down. First round pick. How do you guys feel? You think it was a big deal? I know Dal Stevenson stepped in for him.
Yeah, it broke my heart, man. I really like him, man. Every interview I've seen, I saw him, right after he got drafted with his kid, and he just seems so excited, and he just wants to work hard. He wants to be a leader. The defense speaks very, very highly of Garrett Bowles, and I hope he can come back soon. They're saying it's a high ankle sprain and a bruised bone or something like that, right? A deep bruised bone.
Right.
So, I mean, it's better than a knee injury because a knee is your IR, you're done, sit it out, you know.
For at least a season.
Yeah, I there's some hope there, but I love him. I think he's the only guy who's good on our offensive line. So, what'd you think, Mark?
No, I felt the same way. He's the one who, at least on that offensive line, looks like he gives it his all every single play.
Yeah.
He has all the heart. He knows that, being a rookie, it's not easy to make a start, especially on the blind side of the quarterback. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
No doubt. Yeah, I think he's expected to miss a couple weeks, which isn't too bad because we got that early bye.
Yeah, that's true.
Which
that's
actually
a good point, Sean.
Is the only thing that it's working in our favor for. So,
yeah,
and more than likely, we're gonna walk all over the Bills. So,
knock on wood. Don't want to jinx us, brah.
Wanted to ask you guys. So the Bills, obviously, they're not that good. It's McCoy and
you're kidding.
Tyrod Taylor is like their rushing. That's it.
You're getting ahead of yourself, buddy.
Well,
we're not to that part of the show. Whoa.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Is this a trap game?
I don't know. As a fan, and it's tough to say that as a fan. As an analyst, they would say, no, it's going to be a win. But as a fan, you're always looking out for that game that you're like, we're going to win guaranteed. And then you lose like 21-3.
Like losing to the Jets or the Browns or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, because I think also players are guilty of putting their guard down, saying, oh, it's the Bills. It doesn't matter. It's a away game.
Especially coming off of like such a big win against the Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that the reason why, Mark, I don't think it's a trap game is because they had the Super Bowl hangover last year, and they know what it's like to fall into a slump of mediocrity based on their past success. And I think that they're very cautious to fall into that again. I listened to an interview with Derek Wolfe. They did with him on The Drive with D-Mac and Al. And he, when they were talking about how, oh, you guys did so good against the Cowboys, what a great win, he was like, very like, hey, you know, a win's a win. We're moving on to the next week. We aren't going to stay here and celebrate all day that we beat the Dallas Cowboys. You know what I mean? And I think that that's the right mindset to have. And that's what keeps you away from trap games when you say, hey, we could still lose it all. We're just starting the season. Trevor Siemian even said that in his press conference. You have to look forward. And you can't just be on a high from a great win, you know? So I think we're going to be fine.
I hope so.
Me too. All right, well, moving on to the defense, the no-fly zone. We saw a huge play at the end with Aqib Talib running a 103-yard touchdown interception. I felt like he finally, I don't know, I have been kind of disappointed with his performance up until that point, and granted it was garbage time, but it's nice to see them not give up those garbage time goals and turn something into a big, big effort like that.
Yeah. No, I if you want to talk about mistakes, how they can still improve even from a game like that, I think it does. There are definitely mistakes on the defense. I mean, not in the running game, not on the line, but I think the no-fly zone made some mistakes. I mean, Dez Bryant should have never gotten that first touchdown. He burned Talib really bad. And Talib should have had three interceptions, not one. So I think there was missed opportunities. There's definitely more opportunity there. But, I mean, they still played great. But, I mean, if you really want to be playing, running on all cylinders, we're not there yet.
So sounds like you're a cup half empty kind of guy.
I'm saying if you keep
sounds
a
like
mindset.
You're filling in for Eric.
No, I'm saying Eric's in spirit right now. He's like talking through me.
Yeah.
If you keep a mindset of we can always do better, I think that's a winning attitude, and I think that that's what gets you championships. You know what I mean?
Here's something really cool, because I saw an interview with Talib and Primetime. I don't know, did you guys see that?
I didn't get to watch it. How was it?
It was good. He Primetime, he mentioned something really cool. So you mentioned the Dez Bryant touchdown. It was kind of like a back shoulder fade.
Yeah.
And then the Talib interception, it was the same exact play.
Yeah.
And Talib told him, he goes, yeah, I saw him line up and I go, this is the same play. And it was so easy for him, because he knew it was going to be thrown to him. It was an easy pick. So to your point, yeah, I mean, there's a couple mistakes, but Talib and the no fly zone, they learn really quick, and it's in, you know, live, it's game time.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's not like they learn after.
Yeah, you're Talib, right, Mark.
Talib, so I'm more of a smartest man who's ever shot himself.
Yeah. He learned from his mistake.
Yeah. He will never shoot himself again. interesting fact too is that was the 10th of his career, and which makes it the fourth player to ever reach that mark.
Wow.
For Aqib, yeah. So he's definitely earning that C.
Yeah. No, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, when you tie records with Primetime and all sorts of you know, secondary legends like him, I mean, that's incredible. We'll see where he finishes in his career. Who knows what he's got left in the tank after this season, but I mean, we're really lucky to have him. So
we kind of touched on this already, but with the run game, CJ Anderson destroying it, do you guys have any extra insights on that, what you guys thought as far as the run game goes?
So to kind of go back to the you know, we were off of a big win, you know, and they kind of get in a slump and they think it's, you know, it's going to be an easy win and they lose. There's an interview with CJ and they asked him what's the difference between last year and this year for him. And he said last year he was on the high of the Super Bowl and this year he's playing like he's undrafted again, which is super smart, because then he's playing, you know, he knows he has Jamal Charles on his tail. And that's how he should be playing, which it shows.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Mark. I mean, what else can you say? We already talked about it a little bit in the beginning. I think he played out of his mind. I think he's doing great two games back-to-back. He's making opportunities with a shitty O-line. He's really, I mean, I think people don't realize how huge that touchdown was, that reception touchdown. CJ can catch, okay? And if we learn to do shovel passes with him and we learn to utilize him and maybe like just a little slot roll, I think it will give more weapons for play calling. And we won't, you know, we'll be running less because no one's going to think to cover CJ, you know? So I hope that they explore that role more. I hope that they look to CJ maybe catching a little bit more. But he did great, man. I mean, what can he say?
Yeah, totally agree with you 100%. I think he's really coming into his own. Interesting point on the Cowboys rushing game. Dak Prescott actually was the rushing leader.
That's great.
24 yards. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think he's such a force, man. And I think with the way Trevor Siemian kind of segueing into him and how his performance really showed in this game, just really capitalizing on that short pass is just, they're just killing it with that right now. And then on top of that, with a great running game, watching DT and Sanders turn those short passes into to decent gains, decent to big gains. I think both Thomas and Sanders had like 20 plus yard gains off of real short passes right in the beginning, which kind of set the tone. And then that Sanders got that, that first touchdown pass. Yeah, man, I just think I haven't been so excited to watch a quarterback since, you know, Peyton Manning came. I think he's really coming into his own finally.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Trevor Siemian's doing great. And since we're on the topic of Trevor Siemian, I wanted to ask you guys a question. When do we lock him down? Has he showed us enough? If you do lock him down, what do you pay him? We've made this mistake before. Look to our past. We did it with Brock Osweiler. We did it with Malik Jackson. Two reasons why two big players left. They said blatantly to the media it was too late. You know, they came to me right at the end when they should have been paying me all along. And not everybody's a Russell Wilson where you get that rookie, you know, 2 years for free after he took you to a Super Bowl and then you have to pay him, you know. There's one flaw in John Elway, and I think it's him not being preemptive on signing people. I understand it's a business and you have to be careful and fiscally responsible, but at the same time, when you see talent, Trevor Siemian's been with us his whole career. You know what you have with Trevor Siemian. You need to lock him down.
I'm gonna combat that.
Yeah?
And say he is not he's smart. And I'm gonna give you one example. His name is Chris Harris.
Chris Harris Jr.
We got a big discount with him.
Yeah. You I agree. You run a risk, though. That's all I'm saying is you run a risk of pissing off a player because if you hold off too long, they're going to say, I'm going to wait, and then I'm going to get paid. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think there's there's two sides of the coin where I think you're right. You can save a lot of money and get a player for free for the duration of their contract if they're playing out of their mind. But I think you're just – you're playing with fire there. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, man, it's tough. I mean, he's got another year on his contract before it really even becomes an issue. I think next year definitely, I think depending on how the rest of the season goes, is going to determine a lot of how much that man's going to be making come 2019. Yeah, I agree with you on that. The point that you got to pull the trigger sometimes, but on the other side, I also get it's tough, man. You're in a way you're trying to predict the future, and these contracts are so huge and they're for such a long time. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, how many quarterbacks in the NFL right now have these huge inflated salary contracts and have turned out to be dog shit? I mean, we have one on our bench that another team's paying $16 million for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so you gotta – there's just so much goes into it. And I think for sure he's earning that spot. And I think as long as he can continue to do that,
that's right. But there's also examples on, like I said, there's two sides of the coin. There's players that didn't receive it, and forget Brock Osweiler and Malik Jackson. I mean, there's other players in different teams that this has happened to. I think this is my personal opinion. I think he's proven himself to be, you know, people say our guy, people say, you know, our quarterback, our franchise quarterback. Do you guys think he is? Do you guys not think he is? Do you think he needs more time to prove that? You know, regardless, I think he's our guy. I think that we need to pay him. I think that this is something that we are making a huge mistake. If, I mean, let's say we don't get to the Super Bowl, but let's say we get into the second round of the playoffs with him. That's still an amazing year. That's a winning season. That's a success. How do you not offer him something in the offseason? If I'm Trevor Siemian, I say, fuck you. If you're not going to offer me a contract after this season and I took you to the playoffs, what else do I have to do to get money? I got other teams out there going to pay. That turns into a bitter thing real quick to where you're like, I got 17 games and after this season, I'm going to get paid $80,000, right. You know, 60 of it guaranteed. So we don't want to get to that point.
For sure. We got to look at the other side too, that yeah, he's doing a great job, but Denver also gave him that opportunity. He had the opportunity to learn from one of the greatest, to be, you know, I mean, to be under John Elway and all this other advantages of playing for Denver and being in a contending team opposed to being drafted and put on the Browns. I mean, I think there goes a lot on both sides. Like, I think Denver's provided him a great opportunity and he's earned it. But what the future brings, I don't know, man. How many quarterbacks have you seen, though, who had phenomenal first and second seasons and then just dive bombed for no apparent reason?
For sure. There's a lot right now because the quarterback skill level and the talent out there for the quarterback position is total dog shit.
Right.
I mean, that's no surprise. But, I mean, Mark, what do you think? Get in on this.
So, I think that, like, if I was John Elway, you got to look at one, I think, major flaw with Trevor Siemian, and that's injury. He is prone to getting injured a lot, but there may be something to fix that. So let's say you know, towards the end of the season, you're like, okay, let's lock him down. We can probably get him for a cheaper price rather than waiting till his contract ends. Cool, lock him down, pay him $15, $16 million a year. Now that we have him locked down at a cheaper price, let's make sure we can get have him standing up at all times, which means they pay more for their offensive line and make sure that they bolster that offensive line every single year. That's what I would want to see. Is he's very good. Do I think he's Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Phyllis Rivers? No, I'm just kidding. I don't think he's that caliber, but I think he is good enough to lead us to a Super Bowl.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You think Phillip Rivers is better than Trevor Siemian?
Don't make me say it.
Are you serious? You would take Phillip Rivers over Trevor Siemian. An aging 0-2 piece of shit crybaby over Trevor Siemian.
For 1 year, yes.
Oh. No. I don't even know.
That's not even where I was going with this, Mike.
I don't even know you anymore, Mark.
I had a very good topic, and now you made me lose it.
If you're listening to this, you need to boo. You need to boo Mark right now. You need to send him Twitter hate. You need to fucking put him in check.
There's no questioning, though. I mean, in somewhat of Mark's defense, I mean, Phillip Rivers, he's got years on him that you just can't make that
trash.
Up. Well, he's got experience, man, and he's got a better arm.
When was the last time they went to the playoffs? Sorry, when was the last time they went to the playoffs?
It's a team sport, buddy.
Why don't you look up the last time the Chargers went to the playoffs? Mark, why don't you look that up for me?
Well, look up
get out of here.
Phillip Rivers and Trevor Siemian's stats and compare them.
Well, who's played as a starter longer?
Let's that's all I'm
check
saying.
In a couple of years.
All I'm saying is he's got experience.
If you plugged Rivers into this offense right now with a decent offensive line, he'd be better than Simeon.
Somebody look this up. The Chargers, I don't even think, have been to the playoffs with Phillip Rivers. And if they have, it hasn't been in the last 5 years. So you're telling me that's not a winning season. That's not success. Did you know, I heard a statistic today on The Fan.
Yeah, but their defense is terrible.
25 games. 25 games.
Okay, Micah, who won the Super Bowl? Peyton Manning or the defense?
This statistic will make
who
you
won?
Pick Trevor Siemian.
It was the
defense.
They
lost 25 games in the last two seasons by a margin of 3 points or 1 point.
Well,
that's not a finishing quarterback.
Defense or a kicker right there.
No, dude. I'm telling you.
Cuckoo Kachu can't
Phillip
make any
Rivers
kicks.
Cannot finish a game. And you can say, oh yeah, well, he's consistent with mediocrity.
Look what he did to our team, though. We almost lost to him. And if it wasn't for Koo getting blocked, we would have went to overtime.
We would have went to overtime, yeah. But that, Mark, that's happened 26 times now in the past two seasons that's happened to them. It's not it's a regular occurrence with that franchise. And look at McCoy. McCoy was their head coach. He is a brilliant offensive mind. And no success. You can't tell me that none of that falls on Phillip Rivers. You can't tell me that. Missed opportunities, brah. I'm telling you, Trevor Siemian.
Anyway, this is not where I was going.
No, I know, but I'm just saying this. But this is good because it talks about the discussion of Trevor Simeon's value. What quarterbacks would you take over him right now? Which ones wouldn't? That kind of gives you a gauge at what he's worth, right? Would you say he's top 15 quarterback? If so, what would you pay him?
Yeah, I think he is. I don't think he's top five.
I don't think he's top five either, but definitely top 15. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on a tangent. Mark knows my buttons, and it's Phillip Rivers. That's my only button.
Well, I'm going to end it there because I have no idea where I left off.
I'm sorry. I got all heated. It's hot in here.
Yeah, hot in here. All right. Well, let's wrap up this game with how did you guys feel about the coaching? Did you guys notice anything different? You feel like they're still doing a good job? Vance Joseph, just with his giant grin on the sidelines. Any comments?
I still don't know how I feel about Coach Vance. I think he's, I don't know. I just feel like he's, eh. I feel like it's been that way since John Fox. Our team's just so fucking good. You just put people in there and it doesn't really matter. I could be the head coach. You know what I mean? I just feel like there's no.
I do like his honesty. Like he doesn't really have a filter, where Kubiak definitely had a filter. He knew how to talk to the press. He was like a mini Belichick
puppet.
I like Vance.
He's all right. Sean, do you like Vance?
I think he's doing a phenomenal job to this point. I think to say like anybody could step in and do his job, I think is ridiculous. I think there's so much to coaching that you don't see day in and day out. A lot of decisions that he had to help make and make entirely himself to develop and build this team into what it is. Granted, he was put in a role that had a lot of key parts already in place. He's had to help, you know, construct that and mold that into what we have today. So I think he's doing a great job. I think I haven't been disappointed with any of the calls he's really made to this point. I think he's made the right calls most of the time. As long as you can keep that up.
There's only one thing I didn't agree with, and that was letting go of Slaughter.
Yeah.
We should have kept Slaughter. But
it was kind of a wash for me. I mean, like, yeah, I think he probably deserved a spot, but it doesn't really affect our season that much.
And I don't dislike Vance. I don't know how I feel about him yet.
Sure. I feel that was probably more of an Elway call than a Vance Joseph call, but.
Yeah. Well, that opens up a whole nother can of worms, because how involved is John Elway in the coaching?
Probably very, I'm going to say. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to guess a lot.
Then how much is Vance Joseph and how much is John Elway?
I think day-to-day, like on-the-field decisions are mostly, I would say, all Vance Joseph. I would say running the organization, that's John Elway's position. That's a lot of his call to
get right, but players. The 52 or 53 or whatever, that's on Vance. That's not John.
I think coaching them, yeah, but I think develop or picking who that's going to be, I think that's a team effort.
Yeah, but the coach is part of draft picks and stuff like that.
For sure.
So, I mean, they still have an input. I don't know.
He definitely has an input, but I'm just saying if – you got to imagine what Elway says is law for the most part when it comes to Mile High.
His input is when John Elway asks him, you think you like that guy? And he's sweating. He goes, yeah, that's a good pick.
Thanks for my job. I'm going to go back to my office now. Yeah,
it's a good pick, horse teeth. It's a good pick. Nay.
All right, so game balls for this game. Who do you give them to?
Mark, you go first.
Mike, if I go, I'm going to give it to Phyllis Rivers.
Mark, you go first.
I'm going to give mine to Aqib Talib. Just because of that stat that he's one of four other players in the history of the NFL to achieve that. So, and I like not giving teams garbage time touchdowns. So that makes me happy too.
Yeah. Mark?
I'm going to give it to Von Miller for finally getting his first sack of the season. Well, he actually got two.
Yeah, two sacks.
And not giving up. And he was the best player on the team again.
After two offsides that he stole one of those sacks from Shaq Barrett.
He wanted it.
Yeah. No, Vaughn was great. I'm giving
He was the best player out there, Micah. He wasn't great. He was the best.
I would say Trevor was...
Yeah.
He put up two games back-to-back of impressive. And that's what he needed. Because if he played shitty, everyone would have said... Oh, well, Trevor, I don't know. When are we going to put Brock in? And that's what I feel so bad about Trevor. I mean, any waiver, I feel like people are going to be crying for something else. But I think Trevor did an incredible job. He gets
Eric!
Get the fuck out of here with your bullshit.
Yeah, I can't see real good. Is that Eric over there?
Oh, gosh. Miss you, Eric.
Yeah.
Take a lap. Sean, who's taking a lap?
I'm going to go just because I was so disgusted by his performance, Ezekiel Elliott. Just because he gave up, man, and I'm glad he did. But, like, just to watch somebody just not give a fuck and, like, I don't know, man. He just looked like he did not care at all.
Yeah. Mark?
It was just disappointing to watch.
Watson, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to give mine to him too, but didn't McManus miss a field goal again?
What?
McManus.
Oh, okay.
I thought he missed another one. But anyway, that guy needs to get his shit together. He just signed a $12 million contract, so fuck you, McManus. But yeah, I'll give it to Watson as well. Take a lap, bitch. All right.
All right, moving on to the Broncos at Bills, Sunday at 11. Mark started to touch on this already. But, yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you. Don't ever do it again. Broncos going into week three. We're first in the AFC West. We moved up to sixth in the rankings. We're first in rushing yards. Got a lot going for us. First in points. The Bills are none of those things. Nah, not looking good for the Bills. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I don't see it being a very high-scoring game from the Bills at all. I mean, they lost Sammy Watkins. I don't even know who their number one receiver is. To be honest, it's probably Tyrod to Tyrod or Tyrod to McCoy.
Yeah.
Their defense is not good either. Yeah. It's like I said, it could be a trap game, but I think it should be an easy win.
Should be a solid win. I agree. Even though it's away, I mean, that's the big thing. It's just that it's an away game. We'll see. Should we start with predictions?
I mean. I guess just to give a little more insight on what I was thinking for the game. So last week they lost, 9-3 against Carolina? Nobody showed up in that game. Played really poorly. I think, speaking of running backs getting held to no yards, LeSean McCoy had 9 yards last Sunday, which is a horrible sign for things to come for them, since we held a much better running back to 8 yards, and he got 9 yards last week against Carolina. Tyrod Taylor had 17 of 25 passing attempts for 125 yards, 5 yards per attempt, which is nothing. So it means they can't throw the ball. Their run game is garbage. Tyrod was sacked 3 times in that game. Now he has to go against Von Miller. Interesting, my crushing the numbers to fill in for Eric this week.
Crushing the numbers!
Was actually the last time we played the Bills was in December 7th of 2014 in Denver, where we won 24-17, and as part of that win, thanks to CJ Anderson himself, scored 3 touchdowns in that game.
Wow.
Yeah, ran in for 3 touchdowns. So all around, just horrible bad news for the Bills.
Dang, girl, dang.
Dang. Crushing the numbers.
Crushing the numbers.
I will say this. I think if we have the same game plan, because McCoy, he's not something to shy away from. We got to stop him. Their offensive line is probably way worse than the Cowboys, but one thing we have to keep an eye on is Tyrod, because he does like to run. He will run more than Prescott would. So we got to make sure we can kind of keep him in check too.
Yeah. All right, now into those predictions Mike wanted to do. I'll give mine first, if that's okay.
That's fine.
I'm going to go with Broncos. I'm going to go 30-9.
Okay. Well, I am going 31-14 Denver Broncos.
Nice. Mark?
I'm going to go 28-10 with Phillip Rivers getting 125 passing yards.
It's a good prediction. It's a very good prediction.
Eric texted me his prediction for the week, and he said 17-6. So he's thinking it's going to be a low-scoring game.
What the fuck does Eric know?
Yeah. Again, that huge passive or pacifist. What is that?
Trevor's on fire. We're going to score, son.
I think it's called a socialist.
Yeah. No. Pessimist is the word I was thinking
of. Nice. Yeah, same thing.
Huge pessimist. Yeah, socialist and pessimist, I guess, maybe. Yeah, so he thinks we're going to win, but a lot lower numbers than we think are going to be put up. So, all right. Any other thoughts on that game, guys? Nothing?
Nope.
All right, you
think hopefully an easy game. I think it'll be a higher scoring game than what my brother thinks.
Yeah. So we had a question and comment from this week from Gunner Kane, Gungun 1989. He said, with that display of greatness, are any of you tempted to change your overall season predictions, or are you do you think that it was a fluke game? So just a recap, before this season started, Eric and I had our last off-season episode, and we gave our predictions for the season. We went through, like, game by game what we thought was going to happen. Again, Eric, the huge pessimist he is, gave the Broncos 11-5. I was at 13-3. We didn't get your guys' prediction on the season yet. Do you guys – I think for me, I'm hovering around the same. I'm hovering towards maybe 14-2, fingers crossed. We'll have to wait on Eric's response to that. I'd love to hear what your guys' prediction, what you guys think we're going to end up in this season.
I'm going to squeeze right between you motherfuckers and go 12-4.
Okay.
I think actually, Eric's closest. I think we're going to 11-5 is a really good prediction. And to answer your question, Gun, I mean... I mean, not really. I mean, I think we all knew that our defense was really good coming into this season. Doesn't really change my opinion. We knew we were still good in the defense, but I mean, Trevor is the surprise, I think, to everybody this season. So knowing that, maybe we win two more games than we thought, but 12-14 for me, Mark.
So obviously I didn't give a prediction at the beginning of the season, but if I had, I probably would have said 10-6, not knowing about Trevor Siemian. I would change it. I'd probably go 11-5 or 12-4. I'm still scared of the Chiefs. I don't know if we can beat them this year, which is scary. I think we can beat the Raiders. I just don't know if we'll beat them here and then lose it their place for the Raiders.
So you're saying it did change your, to answer Ben Gunn's question, it did change your overall prediction. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I lean towards 12-4 because I think we'll beat the Patriots here at home.
Yeah.
Well, I was already heading super optimistic at the beginning of the season, so it didn't really change much for me. But I was overly optimistic, I think.
You're going to go 16-0?
I'm 16-0. Yeah, here we come. I still think it's going to be, 12-4, 13-3 is probably a pretty safe bet. Or at least I'm hoping at this point. I mean, we have got some real hard games ahead of us, but who knows?
Good question, Gun.
Yeah. Thank you guys for asking questions. Appreciate it. Any other insights from you guys, from you dummies? Nope. Okay, perfect.
I just think Philip Rivers will have a great game.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. You're never coming back again.
Yeah. And you're done.
I veto.
All right, let's wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for listening. And subscribing to the podcast. We really appreciate it. It means a lot to us. We love doing this. We love talking about the Broncos. It's a huge passion for us, and we know it's for you guys. If you haven't, for some reason, subscribe to this. Go on iTunes, subscribe to it, or anywhere else you can find podcasts. If you could rate us and review us on iTunes, that definitely helps the show to grow and more people to find it and join the community. If you want to ask your own comment or question, or provide your own comment or ask a question, you can reach us on iTunes. On Twitter. You can definitely reach us on iTunes. I haven't done this a whole shit ton of times. So
you've never done this ever.
Yeah, except for every time we've ever done an episode. Go to Twitter. You could reach the show at Crush Report. That's the best place to ask your questions or leave your comments, and we could read them on the show. And if it's your first time, I could give you a sticker from the Crush Report. And it's a free sticker, so you can put it on stuff. That's great. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Eric at Eric T. Munoz. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
And you can reach Mark at
Mark with 2 K's 339. You know what? I'm going to change it.
Yeah,
I'm going to change it.
I'm going to do a new one. Micah, don't ever change yours.
Never.
Yeah. So if you need Micah, just go to Vag0077.
Vash the Stampede.
Yeah. Whatever. Check out the website. We try to update it when we can. And look for those extra points. I think Eric's going to do one tomorrow to kind of make up for missing the show. Those are always fun. Those are on YouTube. Check out our channel. We love you guys. And like always, go Broncos!
Go Broncos!
Go Broncos!
Tiny pee-pee, Mark. I really love your beaches. Want to shake your tree. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time. I sure show you a good time. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. We'll be right back.
call me baby. Say I'm doing you wrong. Well, don't worry, no, don't worry, mama. 'Cause I'm right here at home. You're the cutest thing I ever did see. Really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree. Lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey all the time.